It must be love, love, love.
Did it? Was that right? Was that good? No. Okay. Right. Clearly, I don't know what this is.
That's okay.
But I do know that this episode that we just recorded is an amazing one. We talk about love. We talk. We talk about Valentine's Day. We talk about ways to make relationships spicier and healthier. And we even talk about the love languages. So this is one that you definitely want to listen to.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
Well, hello there, Grace. I'm great, thank you. Welcome back to yet another episode. Yeah, I'm really excited about this one. This is going to be a fun one, huh?
Yeah, it's cute, it's topical, it's lovely, some might say. I know, I'm terrible. I'm making terrible dad jokes today. Yes, it's good to see you, Josh. I'm really excited to talk about this week's episode, which is tying into this week's event, which is, of course, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day! Yes, exactly. What are your thoughts about Valentine's Day? I mean, we could just jump right into it. Like, what comes to mind when you think about Valentine's Day?
Okay, so I mean, I'm, you know, the cynical British Irish girl. So, you know, my initial gut reaction is to kind of roll my eyes and be like, oh, you know, it's just a day to sell chocolate and cards. But actually, like in recent years, despite never having spent Valentine's Day with someone else romantically, I'm into it as like, you know, just as a day to like recognize and celebrate love, all kinds of love, not necessarily romantic love, but, you know, just as a celebration. I'm also a big fan of Galentine's Day, which is where you celebrate all your gals.
Yeah. All your gals.
What about you? All your gals.
Yeah. That's a very good point. Very good comment. For me, Valentine's Day is just, again, it's just like another holiday. And I used to be pretty cynical about it when I was in high school or even in junior high, because it was a lot of pressure around, you know, am I going to get the note? Am I going to get the gift? Am I going to get the chocolate? Am I going to get the, what do they call it? Like the Valentine's gram? Like what is it? The love gram or something like that?
I don't know. That's a very American thing. Like the singing gram.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So in America, we have the Valentine, like the love gram or something. And, you know, your special someone, let's say if I was dating a girl, she would, you know, maybe order balloons to my class, and then I'm supposed to be like, oh, this is so sweet. Or it's expected for the guy, if you're dating a girl or multiple girls, to get them some sort of like gift so that everyone can see that they're loved. And it just used to make me like, oh gosh, like I used to dread that time during school. But then kind of like you, as I got older and more mature, I realized that kind of like Halloween and kind of like some of these other, you know, just crazy holidays, we can make it what we want it to be. And I kind of shifted my thinking into the thought of kind of like, you know, this is an opportunity to make someone else feel loved. If nothing else, if I can't find it within myself to really appreciate the holiday, then I'll use it as an opportunity to make someone else feel loved.
So. Oh, that's really sweet. Yeah. Would you say that you're like a big romantic at heart, or like are you still like a realist?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I think I'd have to ask others who know me well to answer that question, because I definitely know times throughout my life when I'm very romantic, but many other times I can definitely say that I'm a realist. And I don't know. I've always had to grow up spoiling myself with different things. So that kind of made me hardened a bit, I think, when it comes to love and expressing love and showing love. And I've gotten a bit softer over the years, definitely. So maybe I'm more of a romantic now than I ever was before. But yeah, it's in there somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Yeah, I'm kind of with you, I think. I'm very used to that kind of self-love, introspective, being cynical. But now I'm just completely mushy. Like, I'll watch a rom-com, like, tears at the ready. But, you know, it's good. It's nice to kind of, yeah, be open to change and be willing to give and accept love freely.
Yes.
So, yeah. I think, yeah, in terms of a conversation topic, I think there's quite a lot to discuss or, like, dig into.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought we could structure this maybe in terms of looking at this as an opportunity to see love in the different forms that it takes. So whether that's romantic, towards yourself, or just even platonically and recognizing the love that you have for your friends and your family.
That's a great start. Great way to guide this. You know, one of the things that comes to mind, I know we discussed a little bit before we started recording, was the topic about the love languages, right?
Mm.
And the love languages, I guess, would kind of could be categorized in this romantic love, like you were kind of breaking it down to the three sections, right? And so I'm sure there's many people out there who've read about the love languages, or at least seen articles about it. And, you know, we can kind of dive into it very quickly. Did you read the book by Dr. Gary Chapman? Did you read that book? The Five Love.
I haven't read the book, but I think I read, there's like an extended essay online or something that I've read in the past.
Yeah.
So like I'm familiar with them and like the five kind of main love languages, you could say. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you and I are exactly the same, because I did not read the book, but I definitely read a lot about it. And what prompted me to read about it was different people asking me, so what's your love language? And I'm like, what? It's kind of like, what's your sign? You know, like your astrological, like the astrological sign. So I had to kind of go in and figure out, well, in order to be able to talk about this like intelligently, I need to go in and read about it. So that's when I read about the love languages. For those who have not read about it, very quickly, the five different ones, the first one is words of affirmation, which these are the type of people who enjoy hearing the words "I love you," and they're more audible, right? They like to hear and feel love in that way of being told "I love you," or "I really like you," or "I want to spend time with you," right?
Mm-hmm.
What would you add to that? Was there anything you could add to like words of affirmation?
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. I think it's encouraging, right? It's like, you know, confirming things to you, not necessarily in a needy way, but just that's the way that speaks most to you.
Right. Even simple things like thank you and I appreciate what you did. Just acknowledging these type of people who if their love language is affirmation or words of affirmation, then they really, really hold on to the words that you're saying to them. So it's important to understand that person, because conversely, they can get very easily agitated or upset in something that maybe wasn't meant in the way that you intended it to mean. So if you understand that they really put a lot of weight in what you say, then you can use that to kind of enhance your relationship.
Mm. Yeah, it's about recognition, really, and like being on the same page.
Yeah, powerful. The second one would be quality time. So quality time is, I think, for me, I feel like it's a part of every relationship, right? Because how else can relationships really thrive without actually having quality time? But again, with the love languages, some people put more weight into that part of it, regardless of what words of affirmation are being said. It's like, if you're showing me that you're going to give me quality time, then almost nothing else matters. So, you know, it can be listening, it can be, you know, making sure that you don't have your cell phone when you're at dinner, that's sitting at the table, having dinner together, cooking meals together. This is quality time. Yeah?
Absolutely. And I think particularly these days when we're so time poor, I think that is really like such a significant gesture for some people, you know, like just putting the phones away, even just like chatting for 5 minutes and making it clear that you're just concentrated on your partner. Like that could be really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. The third one from the list that I'm reading anyway is the language of receiving gifts. So these are the kind of people who they really appreciate the thoughtfulness behind certain gifts. And it may not necessarily be like expensive gifts, but just thoughtfulness, you know, like a little note that's left when you wake up and you go to work and you leave a little note on the refrigerator door. This kind of person really, really puts a lot of weight into that, right? So they may not care necessarily if you're there, but, you know, or even the words that you say, but the fact that you had the time to think about them so that they can discover this later throughout their day makes them really, really mush or gush, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. Or, you know, if you've been away on a trip or you've been out and you've seen something that reminds you of them or, you know, something like the small gestures, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next one would be acts of service. So this is I guess it could be kind of similar to the receiving gifts, but acts of service is more than just, you know, the physical gift or tangible gifts. This is like acts of service where, you know, maybe you do the grocery shopping or you wash the dishes. I hate washing dishes, but, you know, if I really want to show that I care for my loved one, then I would just wash the dishes without really saying anything because she'll notice it, you know? Or maybe it's picking up something that you know he or she, like your loved one, doesn't really want to do or can't do it physically because they're sick or something, but you go out and you do it anyway. That's an act of service.
Absolutely. And I think that's another really powerful one as well, because particularly nowadays, it's affirming that you're a team, right? And it's like, okay, hey, like, what can I do to help you right now? Yeah. Like, without expectation of reciprocity, because, you know, you're not doing it so they'll get you back in the future. You're doing it because you just want to make their life a bit easier or you want to help them out.
That's right. Yeah, well said. I love it. And then the last one, I think, speaks to a lot of people, definitely speaks to me, is physical touch. And physical touch doesn't have to be creepy at all. And in fact, it's definitely not that. It's more about, you know, holding the hands or placing the hand on the small of a girl's back, you know, just to show that you're there. Little things like that, or opening up a door. You know, obviously maybe it's not physical touch of the actual person, but just anything that shows that you care by touch.
Yeah, it's connection, cute. Right?
Yeah.
It's a proper connection. And I think something that's really important to note with all of these is, you know, a way of figuring out what the other person's love language is or what your love language is by examining your behavior or your partner's behavior, right? Because even if they're not aware of it, they'll probably be doing the love language that they're most in tune with, right? Like your natural inclination might be to be like more touchy and, or, you know, be more willing to give up some of your time to help them. So kind of tune into what they're doing and that's what they'll probably want in return.
Exactly. Yeah. It goes back to the adage, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And maybe like if let's say that my love language is physical touch and I'm displaying that because I want that, maybe my loved one's love language is not physical touch. And hopefully if she's also being aware of herself and her actions and also my actions, then that's an opportunity to kind of say, listen, you know, I understand that you really like physical touch. So I will work on giving you more of that, but I actually care more about acts of service, or I care more about quality time. And then this is a way to kind of get through relationship barriers and limits and things like that. And it, like you said, it all comes back to awareness, but not just awareness of the situation, but awareness of self, which also goes back to self-love as well, right?
So absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's all about communication, right? And that kind of awareness is something that you can take into all areas of your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we kind of segue into talking about self-love, I think it's just something that's really applicable in the whole world of wellness and fitness. You know, if you realize, you know, how you, the ways that you work, for example, like, you know, if you're a visual learner or worker or oral or written, you know, you'll analyze that and change up your work attitude or your approach to work, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that you can then take this approach and apply it to your relationships.
Yeah. And I think something else I'd like to add is also understanding that just because there's this list and there's this book and these articles about love languages being identified as this and that, doesn't mean that you have to fit into one of those categories and that's your stamp and your tattoo for the rest of your life and you have to be that. You know, there's hybrids of these love languages as well. You know, there's maybe you're somebody who embodies kind of all of those equally, or maybe you just feel like none of those speak to you. Whatever it is, it just kind of helps to bring about a conversation and a topic of awareness and communication, like you said. And I think that's the most important thing, is just kind of learning what suits you, what suits the person that you want to be with, and then how do you work together to make it work?
Absolutely. And then kind of continuing this theme of introspection, I guess, moving on to the idea of self-love. Mm-hmm. I think Valentine's Day can be a bit of a tricky time for some people, you know, just like Christmas can be very difficult. It's sometimes maybe a reminder if you're not in a relationship, or if you're in a relationship so that's not particularly positive, or you're not surrounded by positive energy. It can be quite triggering for feelings of, you know, stress or sadness.
Yeah.
But do you have any kind of perspective or advice that you would give listeners for this time of year?
Yeah, well said. I think, you know, this is an opportunity to kind of dig deeper. And if you know that you get stress around this time of the year, then start early. Start doing something that's going to help you get through it. And whether that's go to get a massage, practice meditation, maybe go to a group class. Because if your relationship at home is not working and you've done everything you can, maybe it's you need to be surrounded by good friends and family, or just other people who sweat it out with you, right? So self-love is a number of things. Like something that I've been working on lately is making sure that I cook more at home, so less cooking out. And then I make sure that everything that I cook and everything that I ingest has a level of love put into it, so that I feel good when I take it in. And then the other thing is I've just been prioritizing sleep, because it's one of the things that makes me feel the best. And it's like, okay, if you know that Valentine's Day is going to be a bad day for you potentially, just sleep through it. You know, take the day off and sleep through it. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, those kind of fit into our February challenge, which regular listeners will be aware of from last week's episode, mm-hmm. Where we challenge listeners to incorporate these healthy habits into the month. Sorry, shameless plug there. I personally wouldn't sleep through the whole day. I think having an early night, logging off social media, particularly with people that you know will be a bit triggering, because again, social media, particularly around this day, is very performative, very idealized, not an accurate representation of reality.
Right.
Just as with any kind of aspect of self-care, just be aware, treat yourself, you know, or like go out and surround yourself by people who you know you really love platonically, or, you know, Dolly Alderton, who's this excellent writer over here in England. I don't know if you've heard about her over in the States. She wrote a book recently called Everything I Know About Love. She basically used to be a dating columnist for The Times magazine, I think. And her book is all about, you know, really at the core of it, what she's learned about her love for her female friends and her friendships. Mm. And she wrote a really lovely piece in the Sunday Times this week, which was basically saying, even if she's in a relationship, she'll always spend it with this one gal friend who's been perpetually single. And they'll do romantic, silly things and just do it as a celebration of their friendship. Mm. So I think, you know, doing something like that is brilliant. You know, it's not, romance isn't just for couples, right? Absolutely. Can be with yourself, it can be with your friends.
And you know who needs to hear that the most? Guys need to hear that the most, because, you know, there for a while there was this trend of bromance, and it got kind of got taken out of context quite a bit, to where it was just almost like a joke. But, like, you know, we need to have positive role models and people that we look up to, and have it be okay to, like, hang out and go to the movies together and have dinner together and get massages together and things like that. Like, it should be cool, right? But like guys grow up trying to be super macho, and then that sort of perpetuates this idea of hiding our feelings, which then crosses over to our relationships, which then crosses over to how we raise our kids. And it's just this cycle, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, toxic masculinity is a huge discussion topic these days. I think it's taken out of context a lot of the time. It's often talked about, you know, the effect it has on women, but actually I think it's really important about the effect that it has on men. And like you're saying, you know, with the kind of trend or, you know, tradition previously for men not to be allowed to be in touch with their feelings or show emotions or treat themselves, you know, like go and have a massage or go to the spa or do these things in case they're seen as being weak or being gay or, you know, like mm-hmm. all these negative connotations traditionally. No, screw that. Like the patriarchy can sod off from men as well. No, it's true. Yeah. So like, you know, if you're listening and you don't have anyone to spend Valentine's Day with, regardless of whether you're a guy or a girl this year, maybe like challenge yourself and find another single person, go treat yourself, go see that film or go have a nice dinner.
Yep.
You know, and just enjoy it or go by yourself, you know, that's like right. Do what you want.
I love it. Yeah, this is great. I knew this would be something very, very important and a great discussion because why not? You know, like here we are kind of like opening up our hearts and talking about things, you know, like first time listeners might think, wait, I thought this was like a fitness, health and wellness podcast, but this is all of that together, right? This is health and mm-hmm. wellness and lifestyle all kind of together. But a lot of it is if we have the fittest bodies on earth, we can do, you know, the fastest marathon time and lift the most weight, but we have a toxic relationship at home or with a family, then what's the point? What's the point? You know, like I've mm-hmm. been thinking about this a lot when it comes to even exercise and the fitness world. It's like everyone on social media is all about showing their six pack and how much weight they've lost and how much weight they can lose or how many hours a day they work out. But like, what's really going on inside of their head or what's really going on inside of like their mind, you know? Like this matters more to me, I think, because that's where real transformations take place, is inside of the person.
Absolutely. I think that's really well put. And I mean, from my personal perspective, it's really important to work on yourself constantly, right? And like, you know, even in the last year, like around June, July last year, I've talked about it before, I was like in the best physical state I've ever been. I was working out constantly. I was finally happy with my body. But then, you know, when I had like my mental health problems, like that all kind of came crashing down. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I can only really concentrate on one thing at this point. And it's going to have to be on working on myself.
Yeah.
And now I'm in a position where I'm even stronger than before and I can get back into exercising and I'm more open to love and more open to, you know, opportunities and more appreciative of what I've got. So I think, you know, if people are, and we've talked about this, in our conversation with, the dynamic therapy.
Yeah. William Pullen,
he put it really well. Like, you know, you can't just dive into doing exercise or something, you know, when you're just using it as a form of escape.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, it goes back to another conversation. I don't remember which episode it was, but we talked about identifying. Maybe it was the same episode, but identifying what are the goals for a person to train, and you know, it's like if it's to get that summer body, well, what's the point, right? Okay, so you. Are you ever going to truly be satisfied, for one? For two, how long do you sustain that? And for three, like, what do you do once you get to that goal? Now what, you know? If you've alienated all of your friends because all you do is work out and have protein shakes and talk about CrossFit, then, you know, what do you do when Valentine's Day comes around? Or, you know, when you're sick in the hospital and no one's there to kind of come by and check up on you because you were absent all of their life, you know? It's deep. It's super deep.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my final comment on it really is it goes down to the heart of what this podcast is truly about. And it's not just talking about wellness or fitness, but like holistic health and wellness.
Absolutely.
You know, it's your holistic attitude to life in general. And it goes back to the four pillars that we've talked about before quite a lot, you know, the types of consumption that you've got, mm-hmm. and the kind of consumption of energy and love. So I think, you know, you've got to have a strong platform for all of it. You can't just focus on one thing.
Yeah, way to wrap it up. I love that. That's a that's a very, very good one. And I just also would suggest everyone to kind of just be aware of how much you, I guess, rely on likes and comments on social media to dictate your true happiness. It, you know, if again, you mentioned it previously, but if you know that you're one to kind of dwell on how many likes, and you find yourself taking photos off because you didn't get enough likes or comments or whatever, then just do away with it for the next couple of days, especially around this holiday, because you don't want that to become a trigger, because that doesn't really matter. In fact, how about not even posting anything about your Valentine's Day? Let that be something sacred between you and your loved one. Try that for a while and see how that fits, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, your self-worth is not determined by how many likes you get.
Bingo. We're going to put that in quotes, yeah. And that goes on the post. Yes.
Right. Wrapping it up, because we're keeping it short and sweet. Any final words, or should we launch into our gratitude?
No, I don't think I have any final words. I think you know, the words could keep going, and I could easily go down the rabbit hole. For, as you know, and as the listeners are hearing, it's easy for me to go down the rabbit hole. So I think we should just let's talk about our gratitude for the week.
Beautiful. What are you grateful for?
Well, I am grateful for this the opportunity to truly help myself in you know, health and wellness and fitness and lifestyle, the whole holistic approach, so that I can then help others. And, you know, there's been a lot of people that have, you know, behind the scenes have reached out to me, whether it's been, you know, maybe I haven't trained them in over a year, but they've come back to me to say that, listen, you know, I'm sorry that I went radio silent for quite some time, but I know that you were someone that really cared about my health and wellness. When I hear that, it makes me feel like, wow, I'm doing all of these things for the right reasons, because that's why I do it. So I'm truly grateful for those who actually recognize that. And again, it's nothing, it doesn't really bother me if a person doesn't really truly recognize it, but it really makes me feel good, and I'm grateful for those who truly do.
That's really beautiful. Yeah, I think that's powerful. I feel like I repeat myself a lot. But yeah, this week I'm really grateful for my friends. I had another beautiful interaction with them this weekend, where I hosted them for an anti-Valentine's Day quiz / party. When I was a teenager, I used to have Valentine's Day parties.
Oh, wow.
Because I was really edgy and angsty. But this year I've like flipped the script, so it was a bit more ironic, and it was just a really lovely celebration of friends and bringing people together and having a good time and some good karaoke.
That sounds amazing. So, I think you posted something on your stories about that, I think, right?
Yes, unfortunately I didn't post very flattering clips of us singing, but it was really joyful, and you know, it kind of ties in with what I've been focusing on this week, which is just to be grateful for what I've got in my life. You know, even if it's not romantic, then that's fine. I love Beautiful. Myself, I love my family, and I love my friends.
Beautiful. Well done. Well, I think we've knocked this one out the park. This was a very fun discussion. So thank you for your time. And
thank you.
And equally, thank you to the listeners. Thank you for your time and listening. And as always, we hope that you find some benefit out of listening to our ramblings. And if you have any questions, reach out. And if you have any comments, reach out. And until next time, yeah?
Yeah, tell us how your weeks go. Tell us about your Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Did you treat yourself? Did you take on the challenge? We want to know.
We want All right. to know.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Simply Walk the Talk.
If you have any questions or comments, shout out to us on social media or email us at hello@simplywalkthetalk.com.
And if you liked this episode and it was helpful in any way, feel free to share.
Thanks.
Thanks.